Let me just start by telling you that all of the forces in the universe tried to prevent us from recording this episode. For some reason, the day we had set to record this interview, everything went wrong. And it was so crazy. Before the interview, during the interview, and even after the interview, this day was insane. But the information in this episode is so valuable that we somehow found a way to get it recorded anyways and out to you at the perfect time. In this episode, I talk to my friend Abby Peretz all the way in Israel about how to make 2020 your best year ever by managing your time and your expectations and dealing with trials as they come. The information in this episode is so good. So without further ado, here is Abby Peretz. Hello, and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super excited about my guest today. She is a ball of energy. You guys are going to see she is so much fun, and she's coming to us all the way from Israel. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, please help me welcome all the way from Israel, my guest, Abby Peretz.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
Yes, so fun to have you. So I know who you are because I have done extensive research, but start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your family.
Sure. So I'm Abby. I have been married to my husband, Guy, for like 23 years. We have 5 children. They are ages 10 and a half through 20 and a half. And my middle son has some special needs. He's developmentally disabled on the autism spectrum. He has a rare syndrome. And just for fun, he also had cancer. He is better now. That was an interesting journey for our family. My youngest, by the way, is missing an ear, like was born with one ear, and we don't even consider that special needs. So that's who we are as people. And I have worked as a freelance writer for the past 20 years. And what else can I tell? I can talk about me all day. So you should stop me at some point.
Well, you've given us a few jumping off points, but I did contact, before this interview, I contacted a mutual friend and she told me a little bit about you. Our mutual friend is Lauren, who has been a guest on my podcast before, Lauren Golden, who's amazing. But anyway, she told me you were Jewish and that you lived in Israel and that you had married an Israeli, which is super cool because I am also Jewish.
Woohoo! Members of the tribe.
Right. Awesome. So that's a little known fact about me because I actually did convert to Christianity in college. So most people know me as a Christian, but Judaism runs deep in my roots. And I still teach my kids all about the High Holy Days. And we still celebrate a lot of the Jewish traditions that I had in my family growing up. So I consider myself very Jewish.
There you go. You have a Jewish soul.
It's true. It's true. And sometimes I choose. I'm like, today I'll be Jewish and tomorrow I'll be Christian. So from what you just said, but also from what I learned about you, your experience in motherhood has not been all fun and games. You've had some really big challenges with the health of your children and some other things. Can you tell us about some of your experiences and kind of what you've learned and how you've grown through those hardships?
Sure. So sometimes there have definitely been points in my life where I'm like, you know, other people like go through hard things with grace, whereas I am graceless. Like I do not take it well. I scream and I rail and I shout and like I cry in my car and whatever. But I think that that's probably like in the long run, ultimately fairly healthy to do. If you look at the statistics, my husband and I probably should have been divorced like 8 times over with all of the things that we've gone through. But I think that you really do find out who you're married to when you go through hard stuff. And my husband is, you know, he's a man, so he can definitely be annoying at times, but he also shows up when it's necessary. So we're kind of stuck together after all these years. I don't think either of us will be putting up with anyone else, or nobody else would put up with either of us. But yeah, so going through, first of all, getting the diagnosis that your kid has special needs and that what you might have seen when they're an infant as a developmental delay, which is classified as a developmental disability when a child reaches school age and hasn't begun to catch up. When you get that notification, let's say that this is going to be forever. That's really hard. And I went through a very, very dark time when that happened. It took me a long time to come out of that. And right around when I did is when my kid got cancer. So that was fun. And as you can see, the tool I use is humor and sarcasm, which, by the way, my husband and I were just saying the other night, our middle son, Adi, does not understand sarcasm. So we'll be like, oh, Adi, it's great that you left your plate on the counter. And he'll be like, sure, thanks. We're like, that means put it in the dishwasher. So I have learned to be clear and concise in my language, I guess. And I have learned that I've definitely learned to accept help, to ask for and accept help. And I have learned that I'm not even going to pretend to have it together or that I can do it all. That's what I would say I have taken away from this experience.
I love that. That's so important for anyone experiencing any type of challenge. That's so good. So I know this seems kind of like a silly question, considering how hard I'm sure all of that was to go through. But looking back on it now with a little bit of perspective, what blessings do you think came to your family through all of that?
So a couple of things. One is... let me preface this. I love my parents very, very much. They are from a different generation. And it was not easy for my parents, for my father in particular, to accept that we had a kid with developmental disabilities. My dad is probably Adi's best friend in the whole world right now. So watching that growth was pretty amazing. Adi and my father talk via FaceTime, because my parents live in the US, almost every night. And it's the same conversation again and again. And my dad never loses patience with him. And that's kind of amazing because I grew up with my dad and that's not how I knew him. He's an amazing, amazing person. And I love my dad and my mom very, very, very much. But it has been really, really, really a blessing to watch that kind of growth happen. So there's that.
That's neat. Intergenerational relationships are so cool. My youngest son calls my mom every single night too. And I just think it's so cool because growing up, my mom wasn't like super available to me. So to see this relationship with my youngest son, just I'm sure that it does her heart so good, but
absolutely.
It's good. It's so fun for me to see it as well. So I love that. You're originally a copywriter turned freelancer turned course creator. Is that right? Is that the kind of the whole evolution of...
Yeah, there you go.
In a nutshell. But you're not just an amateur entrepreneur like me. You have actually been really successful and made lots of money and had a big impact. What do you attribute that kind of success?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, so I would say a lot of it is, this is my personality. When I was 18, I dropped out of college and moved to Israel. And when I announced that I was doing this, my dad was like, you can't do that. And I was like, I'm 18. I can do anything I want. And he was like, let me rephrase. I'm not paying for it. And I was like, I need your money, which was like the dumbest thing I've ever said because obviously I needed his money, but whatever. Anyway, so that personality trait has stayed with me. So like when I started Successful Freelance Mom, which is my business where I teach moms how to get started in freelance writing, I took, you know, like everybody does, I took a course on how to create courses, right? And I learned, okay, you want to get a guest post and have your lead magnet and get people onto your email list. So I had a friend with a blog and she had a very popular blog in a very niche area. It's called Kosher on a Budget. So you can figure out how niche it is. And she let me do a guest post on creating more margin in your budget by freelance writing. And I drove that to my little free email course on my brand new website and like 130 women enrolled. And I was like, okay, I have 130 people on my list. I'm going to have a webinar. And the person who was teaching me was like, I realize 130 people sounds like a lot. Maybe wait a little bit. And I was like, no, I'm good. So I like scheduled my webinar. I got 80 people registered for the webinar. I had like 30 people show up. And on the webinar, I announced, okay, I'm launching a course. It's called Writing for Money. None of it existed yet, but I sold it to 13 people. So then I had to create. So like what I'm trying to say is I just do stuff. I don't wait around for it to be right. I certainly don't spend time trying to perfect it. I just do stuff and I figure it out later. That would be what I, and like this is still true today. I have spent this week and I will be spending next week, like I'm putting together this thing that I want to launch and I want it to come out on my birthday with a discount. So like it's all got to be done, right? So I'm just doing it and then I'll figure out all the pieces later. So there you go.
Wow. That really is something that that's my personality too. I don't spend time like getting nervous or trying to figure it out. I just kind of go for it. But yours is a little bit more extreme. That's probably why you've been more successful.
a big part of it though is really because I went through probably like the worst thing, you know, like when you think your kid is going to die, nothing else scares you after that. Like it's really hard to get worked up over a Facebook Live or like anything really. Like I'm like, what is the worst thing that's going to, nothing is going to be as bad as what we went through. So who cares?
Yeah. It's perspective building for sure. So what do you think has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in achieving all of this?
I would say it's our good friend imposter syndrome, which strikes everyone. Literally, I was just boxing back and forth with my, I won't even say assistant because she's like my right hand. Like I couldn't function without her. I call her the amazing Amy. And I just got an email from like a big deal person who's like, hey, I think you're awesome and I want you to write my sales page. And I wrote back this very like fangirly, like, oh my God, me? And he, I know he read my reply because I track everything that I send and he hasn't replied and it's been like 44 minutes. So I was like, Amy, I'm guessing he didn't like my reply. She's like, what is wrong with you? Maybe he's driving. So impossible. That's a thing and it never goes away. So yay.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable because I know all of us are like, we don't want to admit that we know those types of things, but oh man.
Well, if you haven't picked up, I'm an oversharer and also I don't know how to lie. So there we go.
There we go. All right. So let me see. What can I think to ask? Okay. So in your time, you know, putting out lots of content to lots of people, have you ever had to deal with haters or mean people that didn't agree with something that you were doing? Or tell us about your experience with that.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of some people call it like the badge of honor, like, wow, now I know I've made it because I have haters on the internet. So a couple of months ago, I was raising the price of my course. So before I raised the price of my course, I wanted to give everybody who was already on my list a chance to get in at the lower price, right? So I did kind of a mini launch to my own list where I sent, I don't know, like 6 emails inside of, 10 days, something like that. And with some of those last emails, I got a couple of replies and it was really funny because they were from men and they definitely struck me as from people who either, I don't know, had not been on my list for a long time or had not engaged in a long time and really did not know a lot about me as a person just from the things they were saying. But it was very like, you're a spammy liar and you're just, you know, you're lying about how you make money and you only make money by selling people snake oil. And I was like, wow, you're very, and I think past Abby would have, I mean, I definitely like, I feel it in my heart when somebody emails me something like that. And I try to like ignore that, but it's there. But past Abby, like not long ago, Abby, like maybe 8 months ago, Abby would have written off a nasty reply, but present day Abby is influenced by her husband who says, don't be an idiot, like let it go. So my husband is definitely the better person in our marriage. Like there are, you know, different types of people, right? So my husband is slow to anger and quick to forgive. And I am like quick to anger and never forgive. Like if you're on my blacklist, that's it. We're done. You don't exist kind of thing. Yeah, that's so, not that I'm proud of that. It's just reality. So yeah, so I managed to like just delete these emails and not reply and let them go. But it's definitely there. And it is hard to like to remind yourself just because random weirdos on the internet think I'm mean doesn't mean that I'm actually a bad person. I'm actually like, there are some people who think I'm fairly nice. So
I'm sure there's lots of people. That's funny. Well, your husband does sound like a great guy, very balancing. My husband balances me out in a lot of areas as well. And I'm so thankful because I didn't know that when I married him, it was just kind of like a bonus after the fact. And I was like, oh, that worked out really nicely for me.
You were so young. I mean, I was 20 and my husband was 23 when we got married and like, we were very different people, I think. Like we've grown up and we're just very lucky that we happen to enjoy the people we became along the way. So that's been, I was really lucky.
All right. So as a busy mom and a successful entrepreneur, I'm always so curious, what does your self-care routine look like?
Well, this week I would say it looks like eating a lot of peanut butter M&Ms, but on a regular basis, I do read for pleasure every day, even if it's only for a couple minutes when I go to bed at night. I read an enormous amount. Reading is something that when I don't do it, I am less happy. So that's something that definitely included my day. I also, ever since my son was sick and got better, like after that happened, I went through my closet. I got rid of a lot of the like dark black clothes, started putting color into my closet. And I go and I get my nails done every 2 weeks now. It's a big thing. Like it makes me feel good about myself. And then the other thing is I'm really lucky because I am Jewish and we have Shabbat every single week and my family is Orthodox. So we observe Shabbat, meaning we don't use any electricity and we don't do any work on Shabbat. So sundown Friday to sundown Saturday every single week. So that's a really big deal. It's a time for our family to connect. You know, the kids can't use phones and neither can we. We don't do any cooking or cleaning. So everything is done ahead of time. And it just, it's this time to catch up and breathe and have a break every single week. So that's really helpful.
I love that. We're going to have a huge discussion about that later because I'm so curious about how you observe Shabbat. That is so cool. But moving on, what are your best tips and tricks to avoid burnout and overwhelm and safeguard your mental health through all of this?
Yeah. Okay. So I would say this week I have not been good at that, but trying to do lots of things before the end of the year so that I can take time off and enjoy. But I'm very big on protecting my mental health. Earlier this year, I went through a program that is about it's a somatic healing program. So releasing trauma that's held onto in the body after you go through the kind of trauma that we did go through. I'm really big on protecting my mental health. So to do that, I made a couple of big decisions in my life. I care more about my mental health than about, say, offending people. So I'm really not big on when people say things like, oh, God only gives you what you can handle. I don't believe that. I think that's a thing that people who have never gone through anything hard tend to say. And I don't let people say things like that to me. And I don't let people say things around me that upset me or that bother me. I will call them out. I'll say, why do you think it's okay to say that? Why do you think that's helpful to say? What do you think you're accomplishing? I will call people out on things because I care about my mental health. How do I protect myself from overwhelm in my work? I do try to, for the most part, I live by my calendar and my Trello board. I every single day when I start my day, I have two reminders on my phone. One goes off at 7 a.m, which is right when my kids are leaving the house and walking out the door, and it says check calendar. So that's just my reminder to myself to literally look at my calendar and see what I have scheduled. And then 15 minutes later, around the time I'm usually sitting down at my desk, I have a second reminder that pops up that says set end time alarm. And that's literally a reminder to myself to set that alarm. So at the time of day that I want to be wrapping up my day, that alarm goes off so that if I'm caught up in work, I have that alarm. It stops me. I take about 5 minutes to set up my day for the next day. And then I can kind of shut down my office and go upstairs for the night. So
that's really great. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It helps.
I just set myself alarm because I try really hard to not let my work carry over to when my kids get home from school. So when they start coming home, that's the end of my day. But it would be really helpful to set an alarm, be like, your kids are about to be home. So Correct. Wrap it up.
It's a really, really helpful thing. I set a ton of alarms, by the way, on my phone, and they all have labels on them. Things like, here, I can look at them right now and tell you. So they say, so my one that wakes me up in the morning, it says, be awesome. I have alarms for switch the laundry. If I have to remember to do something for one of my kids, I might set a reminder or I might set an alarm. There's an old alarm on here that says potato for a meet, where apparently my youngest had to take a potato to school. I don't know. And I have this whole wrap up today and plan out tomorrow email. This is embarrassing, but since I'm an overshare, I'll just tell you, every Saturday night after Shabbat ends, I have an alarm for 8:30 p.m. on a Saturday night to stick my bras in the wash so that I don't forget and go without the next week. So I'm telling you, I have alarms for everything. They keep me going.
That actually is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say be intimate with my husband.
Oh, I don't need an alarm for that.
I talk a lot about that. And I'm like, ladies, it's important. So if you have to put it in your phone, do it.
You know what? It's funny because I don't have to do that because whatever, he's God love him, he's a man. And basically if he's breathing, he's like, I'm ready. But I do, Lauren actually told me that she had started putting alarms in her phone, text Justin something nice, you know? And I was like, oh, that's brilliant, because my husband frequently works abroad and he's often not here. So we have rushed phone conversations and whatever. And I always think it would be a really nice idea if I set a reminder to text my husband something loving. Have not done that yet, but maybe I will implement that.
That's really interesting, because I had Lauren on my marriage summit, and that's that's some of the advice that she shared, that, you know, she's like, get busy. I mean, hey, put it in your schedule to do something nice for your husband if you have to. There's no shame in that at all.
No, not at all. I mean, I literally, everything is in there. I can't, well, apparently not everything, but most things are in there. So yeah, it helps.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So it's the new year. It's upon us, and everyone's kind of looking to innovate, get healthier, the new year, new you mentality. So give us some advice on how to make the best use of our time as we're making our family a priority, growing our business, and taking care of ourselves in 2020. How can we make 2020 the best year ever?
Okay. Well, one, we should, you know, I don't want to say have low expectations, but like, don't set these incredible expectations that you can't possibly meet, right? So time is a funny thing. We get to choose how we spend our time the same way we get to choose how we spend our money. And one of the things that I've adopted for myself is I never say I don't have time for such and such, because we all have 168 hours every single week, right? So instead of saying I don't have time to fold the laundry, what I say is folding the laundry is not a priority for me. And I see how that feels. And in my case, for the laundry, 100% true. It is not a priority, so I don't do it. So decide on the things that really are priorities and are worthy of your time and the things that are not. One of the things that I advise my own students to do, and I actually make all my students do when they start my program, is to do what's called a time audit. So now it's not a very sexy name, but we can call it a time makeover if that's better. So you have to track your time for a whole week. So a whole 168 hours, you got to track what you're doing. And it only takes like 3 minutes out of your whole day, because it's like 10 seconds every half hour, 45 minutes, hour, to just jot down what you did. The thing is, it only works if you tell the truth. It's like if you're dieting and you like keep a food log and you only write down cucumbers and you don't write down French fries I ate off my kid's plate. And then you're like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I'm only eating cucumbers, right? So you have to like tell the truth about what you're spending your time on. And when you do it, you find out things. And it's not about finding out where you're wasting your time, because we're women and we're like very hard on ourselves. It's about saying, like, if you say to yourself, oh, I'm not a good mom because I don't spend time with my kids, and you're actually like spending 2 hours every day helping your kid with his math homework, and you're with them in the kitchen while you're making dinner, whatever, like, don't tell yourself, I'm not spending time with my kids. You are spending time with your kids. You're just not counting it as time with your kids. So like, be aware of where you're spending your time. And the only way to do that is to actually track it and write down what you're spending your time on, because then you can make smarter decisions about how to spend your time. So I think that that's a really big thing. I also think that making big changes is not realistic. We have to make changes in small incremental steps. And if you like, I'm much more about small, consistent things. Here's a prime example. I am not an organized person by nature. So my closet used to be messy all the time. But I made a rule that every time I go in my closet, I put away three things. So three things takes me, you know, 15 to 20 seconds to do, like hang up the thing that I threw on the floor, stick the socks in the drawer, whatever. And now most of the time, my closet is mostly neat. It's not ever going to be perfect, because that's just not who I am. And I also accept that about myself. Like, I am so not perfect, and I'm not trying to be. So if you work with yourself rather than against your natural tendencies, you're going to be much happier.
I love it. I love that. Perfect. Okay. So you have a free time makeover for our listeners. Tell us about that and how we can use it.
Yeah. So it's really, like I said, it's, you'll start by tracking your time for a whole week, and it really only works if you're honest. And it's not about being judgmental. Think of yourself as a scientist collecting data. It's going to be so useful to you if you actually track your time. When I did this the very first time in my life, it was many, many years ago. And I remember at the time I had come up with this brilliant idea. I was like, guy, listen, we're going to outsource the laundry and dinner. Like, we're going to order in a couple of nights a week, and we're going to send the laundry out once a week. And that's going to buy me back like 10 hours of time a week, and I'm going to have time to work on this book project that I want to work on. And he's like, you're insane, but whatever. Like, if you can make that work financially, great. And we couldn't make that work financially at that time. And luckily, at the same time, I happened to discover this amazing woman named Laura Vanderkam, who had written this wonderful book called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And she really introduced me to the concept of tracking your time for a full week. So when I did that, I discovered that I was not spending nearly as much time as I thought cooking or doing laundry, because apparently I don't do those very much. But I saw that I was wasting a lot of time like running errands. Kind of the moment I thought of them, I would like leave the house and go do the thing because I worked from home and it was easy. I was getting often distracted. Like, I'd be in my office at my desk, but like my brother would call and we'd have like a half hour discussion about what should we get mom for Mother's Day, or like my daughter's teacher would call me and we'd have a conversation about her. And it's not that those things aren't important, but it's not fair to say that I was at my desk working for 6 hours when I wasn't. So I learned about streamlining my errand running, for one thing, and blocking off time that I didn't answer phone calls because I needed that time to actually get the work done. I rearranged things in my schedule. I found that extra the other thing was, this was the really embarrassing part. So the game Words with Friends.
Oh no.
Yeah. So in my head, you know, you play your turn, it's like 4 seconds, except if you have 30 turns to play, and then like it's half an hour and you didn't even notice it because it's fun. then, right? So I made this one very small change that wound up being very significant. I took the game off my phone and I put it on my iPad because I use those things in very different places and in very different situations in my life. So the iPad is like for evening when I'm chilling, right? It's not on my desk all day while I'm working. And it's not in my hand when I go to the bathroom, right? So like you can spend an extra 20 minutes in the bathroom just because you're like on your phone, right? So making those changes is what gave me back this 10 hours in my week. And if I had gone the route of outsourcing the laundry and the dinner, one, I would have been spending money that we didn't have, and I wouldn't have solved the right problem. So it's really important to know, where are you spending your time?
Super awesome. I love it. Okay. So with that value bomb that you just dropped right there, we're going to switch a little bit and go a little bit more personal. I ask most of my guests this: when your children describe their mom, what do you hope they remember most about you?
I hope they remember that, wow, that I'm funny and that I love them very much. And that, I mean, I think that, gosh, I mean, I would hope that they would say that I'm there when it counts. I think I'm funny. They don't always think I'm funny, but like, I know my little one, he makes fun of me because whenever he leaves, I say, bye, have a good day. So he does that now. He's like, bye, have a good day. So like, I hope that they associate these phrases and these little things like, well, my mommy says when I come in, I have to give her a hug and a kiss. Like that's the rule, you know? So I hope those are the things they take with them.
Totally. I would definitely describe you as spunky. I haven't known you for very long, but that's the word that just immediately comes forward for me. My mom was very spunky. Okay. If you had the undivided attention of all the moms in all the world, and this is really for you can picture this because you are across the world. If all the moms in all the world were giving you their undivided attention for just a few minutes, what's the most important thing you could teach them about achieving success?
I would say this. I would say, I want you to find on your phone right now a picture of your kids, any picture you want of your kids, and pull it out and look at it and think for a second, would you ever say to your children the things you say to yourself? You never would talk to your children the way you talk to yourself. So I want you to treat yourself with that same love and grace and encouragement that you give to your children, and you will immediately feel better and be able to do more with your life.
So good. What are you working on right now that you're most excited about?
Ooh, this is a big one. Huge. I'm passionate about email. I love email so much. I think it's the greatest thing in the whole world if we use it correctly. So I am working on something that is designed for non-writers. So business owners, online business owners who need to use email, need to be better at email, who can't yet afford a copywriter for everything in their business, but want to learn how to use email effectively. So definitely keep an eye out in Q1 because it's coming and it's going to be so good.
So is that a course that we can sign up for?
It is a course. It does not have a title yet, but it is going to be incredible. And it's a live course and there will be an enormous amount of hands-on interaction with me. And I'm beyond excited for this thing. I'm like giddy about it. It's so good. I've been working so hard on it and it has such an important message and it is such a powerful tool and it just has the capability of really skyrocketing any business that implements this system. So yeah.
Well, I'm really excited too. Hopefully we can time this episode right at that same time so we can actually give people the title and tell them where to find it. So let's make sure we do that. Okay. Now, where can my listeners find you and learn more about all of your awesome programs in the meantime?
Okay. So I am at successfulfreelancemom.com. You can find me. And I am on Instagram as Abby Parrott. And I have a Facebook group. I have a Facebook group called Successful Freelance Writing Moms. And so if you are interested in getting started in freelance writing, that is the place to hang out. We are so cool and fun. Even if my teenagers do not think we are so cool and fun, we really are. And that is where I am. I am in the places. I am doing the things. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been awesome.
Thank you for having me. I had such a good time.
Isn't she just lovely? I feel like the people that have been through the most in life have the most to teach us. And I am so grateful to Abby for putting up with my crazy day and recording this interview anyways. I thought she dropped some incredible value bombs, especially when it comes to time management, as as well as dealing with unrealistic expectations, as well as challenges as they come. I really appreciate the ability to take something that you've learned and be able to bless the lives of others with the lessons that you have taken from those experiences. I am especially interested in the fact that they are Orthodox Jews and the fact that they completely disconnect from all electricity and phones and everything on their Sabbath day, as well as they don't do any work. I think the value in that is incredible, and I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like to actually celebrate one day a week like that and what that would actually do for my productivity and mental health and all of that. So that would be an interesting experiment to try that with your family. See if you can take away electricity and phones and all laboring for an entire day each week. I'm so excited about some of the rest of our guests this month. We're off to an amazing start in 2020, and we've got so many great guests lined up for you. Next week, I interviewed Dana Malstaff of Boss Moms, and she has some really fun things to share with us. I also have some great bonus episodes lined up for you in the coming month as leading up to the Epic Health Summit. So there is going to be some really incredible information coming at you this month. I cannot wait. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any episodes or bonus episodes that don't typically get announced. I hope that you are all having an incredible start to 2020 and that you are making goals and taking the necessary steps to make those goals your reality. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.